Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Extra Point Podcast. Today is Tuesday, June the 17th. Really glad you're tuning in, and I'm especially glad to be back joining you. I've been out for a couple of weeks. We had some very talented and able-bodied staff members filling in for our podcast. Love it when they're able to have those opportunities. But I do miss this weekly get-together. At least it's usually every week when I can bring some further insight, observation, application to the text from which we preached. And today will be no exception. Really glad to join you. My name is Todd. I'm one of the pastors at First Family. And we did really hone in on the word endurance last Sunday. It was really what I believe is the main theme in the opening part of 2 Thessalonians. I believe it's the main theme of the whole book. I explained that in the message. And so I want to take some time to think more about endurance by answering at least one question that came in, something that someone asked me about in person. They just said, is there an official doctrine concerning endurance? They were kind of wondering, is there a specific type of belief or body of beliefs around this word endurance? And there actually is. It's called the perseverance of the saints. So if you were to ask, what's the doctrinal statements or the doctrinal framework for the concept of endurance, I would say to you, it's the perseverance of the saints. It's the teaching in the Bible that says God's people endure to the end. We have worded that at times in the past, and this has been around for decades. Some have said, once saved, always saved. Some would call it the doctrine of eternal security. I see perseverance of the saints and eternal security a little differently in their wording, because sometimes once saved, always saved, while I feel the heartbeat of that and I appreciate the intent of that, I do sometimes think it's a little too shallow in its wording, and probably the way I would like to word it. And what I would say is the basis for our eternal security is that once we're truly saved, then we're forever securely saved. And I would even add God's name in there by saying this: once genuinely saved by God, then we're forever securely saved by God. So I prefer a little more meat on the idea of once saved, always saved. But I know the heartbeat of that, the intent of it. Again, the perseverance of the saints is the doctrinal framework. It's the body of beliefs that surrounds the whole idea of endurance, of persevering, of being forever secure in God. This is what really is the framework for those words. It's the perseverance of the saints. And I would just want to remind you that this doctrine really aligns well with how we see salvation revealed in the Bible. Salvation is revealed in the Bible. It's taught clearly that it is solely and wholly a work of God. And so he's the one who saves us from start to finish. It is his work. And so that can't be undone by something a man or a woman does. It is God's work from start to finish. When he truly, genuinely saves, he will truly and genuinely keep them saved. He's a covenant-keeping, promise-fulfilling God. So he won't change his mind or let anyone pluck you out of his hand, and that would include yourself. And so I really lean strongly into the fact that the perseverance of the saints, the doctrine of eternal security, the idea that once God truly saves, he forever securely saves, all those statements and phrases, they all point to the fact that it is God's whole and sole work when he saves people, and he will finish that and complete that. This is what Philippians 1:6 points to when it says that he will finish what he started. He'll bring it to completion. And so as you think about the perseverance of the saints, as we consider this doctrinal framework for the one word endurance, some often ask some various questions. They have curiosity, such as, well, what about apostasy? Is that real? Does it exist? And the answer is yes. Apostasy does occur. It is real. But I think that the difference in how people view it is this. Some see apostasy as a reversal of a condition, and I don't. I don't think the Bible even teaches that. I think the Bible teaches that apostasy is a revealing of a condition. And so it can appear that someone is saved, and I think this appearance can last sometimes for perhaps a long time. But if there is an eventual apostasy, if someone, as we said Sunday, detaches and disowns and denies, and this becomes their permanent posture, the Bible seems to say this has not been a reversal of their true inner condition. This has been a revealing of their true inner condition. Now, I base that on 1 John 2:19, where John says that they went out from us because they were not of us. If they were really of us, they would have remained with us. So this is a verse, again, that points to the fact that apostasy, which can happen. Hebrews gives multiple warnings against apostasy. This is simply telling us that apostasy does happen, and it reveals that someone never truly belonged. Now, if you're wondering why there are many warnings against it mentioned to believers, it's simply because you can actually be very close and still not be connected. I think this is the point of the warnings in Hebrews, as well as the other letters of the other apostles, when often they would say to us things like, examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. The point is not to say that you can actually give back the faith that God gives you, that you can reverse a work that God did. That's not the point. The point is to stress that you can actually be very close and have the appearance of belonging when you actually don't. It's much like Matthew 13. You can actually think you're receiving the seed, but if the seed never bears fruit, then you never really received the seed genuinely. You just perhaps experimented. You were enjoying maybe some benefits, but you really weren't belonging. You were close, but not really connected. And so thus the meaning of all the warning passages, man, it's stark, it's sobering, that you can actually be very close and still not in. And so I want to encourage you that apostasy is real. We don't deny that, but it's not an event that occurs that reverses something God did. It's an event that occurs that reveals something that God never actually did in their life. They were never really born again. Now, on the heels of that, some then wonder, well, what about backsliding? This isn't a one-time apostasy, but what about those who sin? Like, what about Peter? He denied the Lord. He denied the Lord three times on that one evening. And what about those who sin, intermittently or even for long-term seasons? Is there such a thing as backsliding? And I would say again to that, yes, there is. In fact, in the Old Testament, Israel is described one time as a backsliding people. So let me just be clear here as well that perseverance, yes, it does mean faithful to the end, but it doesn't mean perfect till the end. There are seasons in people's lives at times in which sin seems to dominate, in which there are passions and moments that we give in. Some are short and some seem longer. These are moments of backsliding. They demand repentance. They don't need a re-salvation. That's not what is going on. But there does need to be a repentance. And so I would say that over time, a true Christian who is backsliding does not stay in that condition. I have no scriptural warrant to say how long that can last. I don't know. Just as I don't have a scriptural warrant to say how quickly someone produces fruit once they're born again, we're never given a time frame in scripture. We're just given the promise that genuine Christians always bear fruit. So in the same vein, I can't sit here and say, you know, backsliding is only a 2-month condition or you have a 2-year window and that's it. I don't know. But I will say this, that in the life of the backslider, there is a sense of, there's a realization that they're in sin, that they're not right with God, and that God's authority still weighs on them, and they do eventually return. Now, could there be a situation where someone dies in their backslidden condition? And I would say to that, yes. In fact, 1 Corinthians 5 seems to say to us that there is a member of that church who, as I read the text, was a genuine believer but was sinning. They seem to be unrepentant to the church, and so the church is told to discipline them. And one of the things the church is to do is to pray that this person would be taken quickly, that their flesh would be destroyed. It seems to be a reference to what we would call an early death. And then the text says, so that their spirit may be saved. And what he's saying there is that this person is a genuine Christian, yet they're continuing to backslide and sin. And so they're praying that God would take them home early as an indication that, yeah, they were genuinely saved and God stepped in and removed them to prevent further damage, so to speak. It's a difficult text in some ways, but that does seem to be the overall point, that God can and often does actually judge his people who refuse to repent in backslidden conditions via an early death. Now, it's not early in God's overall ordination of his sovereign will, but it appears early to us. This is also the case with those who take communion in an unworthy manner. They're in the church, they're actually participating in this ordinance, and yet the Bible does speak of those who do this in an unworthy manner. And the Bible says that when that occurs, he said in that church there were some who were sick, ill, and some had even died. So God was judging, apparently, legitimate Christians and bringing them home early. We don't know all the reasons, but for those two passages, I would land here that yes, you could die in a backslidden condition, which means that sometimes we may not fully really know someone's spiritual state. Let's just be very humbly honest here. We don't always know. We can sometimes, give a good estimate. We can, say what we think their life may have looked like. We can, in a humble way, read the fruit of their life. But let's just be very humble. We don't know all that's going on in someone's life when sin seems to be ruling and yet they still maintain a profession. Maybe they're pretending and they don't really belong. Perhaps they do. And then God steps in and takes them home early to prevent further damage to the cause of Christ, the church. We don't know all the details. I just think it's very prudent to stay very humble, not to be afraid to land where the Bible lands, that generally speaking, backsliders and backslidden conditions, it is temporary, that fruit does eventually grow and remain. But are there moments and situations when perhaps someone dies in a backslidden condition and they are genuinely born again? I think the Bible does point to those possibilities. And so again, those would be rare. Those would be exceptions. The general rule is this, that God's seed, when planted, does bear fruit in the life of the believer. And that's how we recognize those who truly belong to God. They continue to bear fruit. And that brings me to the other thing that a lot of people ask about is like, well, then Todd, is that really the essence of assurance? And I would say to you, it is. The essence of assurance is the Word of God doing the work of God in our life, usually over long periods of time, incrementally, often slowly, but yet confidently, so that over time you are a changed person. You're a different person. And this isn't saying that we're turning over a new leaf by our own power, but we're simply saying that God's Word, empowered by God's Spirit, it changes God's people. And so we are different. We act differently. We respond differently. We endure. That's one of the ways that we know that we belong to God. This is the assurance that we have that we are Christian. And so when you spot fruit, when you see spiritual stick-to-itiveness occurring in your life, when you're remaining faithful in the midst of opposition, just know this, that is one of those moments. Even when you are fully aware and cognizant of all the ways you sometimes sin, when you do see these moments of growth, stick-to-itiveness and faithfulness and fruitfulness, when these things are popping up in your life and you see God's work doing its work, know this, that's endurance. It's God's work in your life, and it's a great evidence that you do belong to Him. It's the sign that you are one of God's children, that His seed is in you, and it is bearing fruit, that He is your Father. And as the text says in 2 Thessalonians, we want to rejoice in that, be thankful for that, and in every right way, we want to boast about that to others, not about someone's talent per se, or their own human ability, or their grit. We want to boast about God's work in giving His children endurance. And so I pray that for you, First Family, that God will increase our endurance. Well, till next week, thank you so much for tuning in today. I look forward to talking with you, Lord willing, and by His grace, on next Tuesday on the Extra Point Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Extra Point Podcast. To find more content and resources to grow deeper in your relationship with Jesus, go online to firstfamily.church/resources.